Okay, Lamed Aleph, Omer Aleph. Towards the bottom. The sixth wide line. The Gemara is working through the Braisa about the different Kriyot HaTorah and the Chagim. It's rather straightforward. Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, the first day of Sukkot, Korin BeParashat Moadot SheBetorat Kohanim. That's the Kriya in Parashat Emor, the same as Pesach. Umaftirin Hine Yom Ba. This is this kind of eschatological vision in Sefer Zechariah. Nowadays, when there's 2 days of Yom Tov, lemachar mikra hachinami krinan. The second day of Sukkot, you read the same thing. The Kriyas HaTorah is the same. I didn't remember that, but apparently it's true.
Well, it would make sense. What would you do?
No, the Gabbai wouldn't know because this is Chutzlaretz.
What would you do?
Which Chutzlaretz were you thinking of?
But if you didn't read the same as Yom Aleph, what would you
do? On Pesach, there's a different laning for Shavuos. There's a different laning for the second day. But the Haftorah is different on the second day of Sukkot in Chutzlaretz. Haftorah my maftirin. What's the Haftorah? V'yekalu el ha-melech Shlomo. And they shall gather up to Melech Shlomo. It's about the building of... It's the first parak of Malachim. Right? About the building of Beit HaMikdash. V'shar kol yemot ha-chag, korin be-karbonot ha-chag. And on the other days of Chol HaMoed, Sukkot, you read the korban. But because it's only a few psukim, you call four korin, and you just repeat the same psukim over and over again. Yom Tov Achron on Shmini Atzeres, Korin Kol HaBachor. Mitzvot Chukim uBachor uMaftirin Vayhi Kechlot Shlomo. LeMachar Korin Vizot HaBracha. And what we call Simchas Torah, you read Vizot HaBracha. So it's interesting that we, who only have one day of Yom Tov, we only read Vizot HaBracha. In other words, the Gemara suggests that, well, this is what they do in Chutzlaretz. The Gemara suggests what they do in Chutzlaretz. And it's normally, on all the other Yom Tovim, the first day laning is the real laning. And the Gemara asks, what are you in Chutzlaretz where you have to come up with a different option? What's the second day laning? For Simchas Torah, it tells you first day laning is X, second day laning is Y. But the second day laning, Vizot HaBracha, is what for us, where we only have one day, is the only laning. Because in Chutzlaretz, it developed that Simchas Torah, this, of course, all of this is a later minim, the idea of Simchas Torah, that we finish reading the Torah on Simchas Torah.
Zot HaBracha precedes that minhag of finishing the Torah, but Zot HaBracha finishes the Torah.
I don't know. In other words, it's a Bavli minhag.
But at what point did they have to finish the cycle?
So, David, I've explained this to us a while. These were going on in different periods simultaneously. In Eretz Yisrael, the three-year cycle was only in Eretz Yisrael minhag, never in Bavli. And David actually sent out a few weeks ago on the WhatsApp a link to some page that actually tells you what the parashiot were, how it was divided up over 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Why would it have made sense if you don't have this Simchat Torah, this finishing cycle of the Torah? What would be the reason to read? Usually there's a reason. What would be the reason to read Zot HaBracha?
You probably didn't.
No, in other words, obviously this was the minhag. The minhag in Bavel, by the time this Gemara is written, was to finish the Sefer Torah on what we call Simchas Torah. Umaftirin ve'yamot Shlomo. Is that the Haftarah and Simchat Torah? We learn from Yehoshua. So look at Tosfot. You see, it's Tosfot Lamachar Korin Vizot Brachav Maftirin Viyamot Shlomo. Why do we lay in the first parak of Yehoshua as the Haftarah on Simchat Torah? Yeah, it's the continuation, the death of Moshe and the passage on to Yehoshua. So we saw a lot of cases where the Gemara says a certain laning, which is not our minhag, but then it always brings another option. But in this case, it gives only one option for what the Haftorah is on Simchat Torah, and it is universally not the option. So apparently that's a later minhag. The minhag that we have, that what we call Chasim Bereishis, seems to be post-Talmudic. L'machar k'rinan v'zot ha-bracha u'maftirin v'yamot shlomo. Tosfot says v'yesh mekomot sh'nagu l'haftir b'vayihi achrei mot Moshe. The first parak of Yehoshua. There's Tosfot is aware that there's this minhag. And Tosfot says v'shibushu. This is a mistake to read the first parak of Yehoshua. Shaharei Hashas Ein Omer Kein. Because it's mentioned nowhere in the Talmud that Yehoshua is the Haftarah. V'yesh Omrim Shirav Haigaon Tiken Lomar Vahi Achemot Moshe. Some say that it was Rav Haigaon. I mentioned last week that Rav Sadia and Rav Haigaon, Rav Amram Gaon, that they, much of the tefillah as we know it, was formulated by those Gaonim. So Tosfot said, so some say that Rav Hai said the Haftorah is Yehoshua. Aval einan yodin hasvara amai shana seder ashas. But I cannot understand why Rav Haigaon would have gone against what the Gemara tells us is the proper Haftarah for the last day of for Simchas Torah. So this question has been dealt with in the Rishonim. The Rosh says that the source for the minhag of reading Yehoshua is in the Yerushalmi.
Says that, or what does the Yerushalmi say?
Nothing. At least not our version of the Yerushalmi. And apparently not in
the Rush's Yerushalmi.
No, the Rush says not in the Tosfos didn't have this in the Yerushalmi. And it doesn't appear in our version of the Yerushalmi. Now, again, you can't make an argument. It's not like the Yerushalmi says something opposite. But, and the argument from silence is difficult to make. But apparently the Rush had a Girsa in the Yerushalmi that said the Haftorah is Yehoshua.
I mean, is this like such a big question? I mean, lechatchila, I mean, there's many things that we find that the Gemara says, we're talking about a minhag lechatchila. Many places where the Gemara says minhag is like so and so, we know that nowadays.
We don't know, sometimes the minhag change, but there has to be some kind of reason for why the minhag changes. And if the minhag deviates from what the Gemara says, if the current practice deviates from what the Gemara says, there has to be some kind of logic behind it.
It's often, I don't know, I can't think of examples, but it's often lost in history, right?
Correct, but
1500 years since I wrote this.
Yes, it's true that there are all types of things that lost history, but that doesn't mean that we don't roll up our sleeves and try to figure it out. So the Rosh says that when the Gemara says that the Haftarah for Simchas Torah is Perek. Is Perek Chet of Malachim Aleph. where, which begins V'yamod Shlomo, which is, why is that read on Shmini Atzeret, on Simchas Torah? Because it talks about Shlomo HaMelech gathering the people together and giving them all a bracha on the last day of Sukkot. So there's a problem, though, because although it's relevant to the day, it's not relevant to the Kriyas HaTorah. Yeah, in other words, it's true that like there's a like we treat the second day of Yontif and Chutz La'aretz as if it's Yontif. So,
no, but I'm saying in the Chutz La'aretz you can say you can do the bracha of Shlomo for Shmini Atzeret, you can do Yeshua for Zot Bracha, would make sense.
Oh, except they had a different Haftorah for Shmini Atzeret.
You know, we often find that the Haftorah has to do with the day, not reading. The Arab Parshiyot have to do with
no, but the Haftorah has to do with the Machmir.
Yeah, so whenever there's the Arab Parshiyot, there's a special Haftorah. Yeah, well, the Gemara is going to get to that. It's true, there are some exceptions to this. But generally speaking, absent some other reason, the Haftarah relates to the Kriyas HaTorah.
Right, except unless there's another reason. Another reason is the
Haftarah. Okay. But you don't have to read Yehoshua. In other words, aside from the fact that we time the laning so that the Torah ends on... Now, the Simchas Torah is different than all the Yom Tov. Every other Yom Tov, we put away the regular Sefer Torah, and we take out the Yom Tov Sefer Torah and roll it to something shayach to the theme of the day. Right? On Shvi Yishal Pesach, we read about Kriyas Yamsuf. On Rosh Hashanah, we have these two lanings that deal with whatever it has to do with Avraham Avinu and the birth of Yitzchak and Akedas Yitzchak. Yom HaKippurim, we read about Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Shavuos, we read about Matan Torah. On Simchas Torah, we read Vezot HaBracha, which has nothing to do with the holiday, except for the fact that the holiday has developed as the day on which we finish reading the Sefer Torah. It's kind of tautological. Why do we read the end of the Torah in Simchas Torah?
Because you read the end of the Torah.
Because Simchas Torah is about finishing the Torah. So the reading is not so much about a theme of the day, but about the thing which makes the day unique, the ritual which defines the day.
But Simchas Torah, I mean, it just so happened because of when we start and when we finish, Simchas Torah falls out.
Well, it's timed that way that we should end it on Simchas Torah.
No, I'm saying you would have if you
we could have worked it out.
So that was in middle February, and you would have Simchas Torah in middle February because that's when you're finishing, that's when you're beginning.
Okay, but you also could have worked it out that Bereshit is after Rosh Hashanah. Now, whatever the first Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah is, we read Bereshit. Makes sense, right? So, what we call Shabbos Shuvah, we would always read Bereshit. And we would have Zot HaBracha on whatever the last Shabbat is before Rosh Hashanah, where we usually read Nitzavim. But it's not that way.
And Uda in Eretz Yisrael, when they used to read 3 years, and they apparently didn't read V'zot HaBracha on Simchat Torah.
And they apparently didn't read V'zot HaBracha on Shmini Atzeret either.
Right.
And whenever V'zot HaBracha fell out, you know, like three, the parashiyot didn't divide evenly over 3 years. And whenever V'zot HaBracha fell out, that's when you... Right? Why is they're coming near the end of the they're closing in on the end of the Daf Yomi? So I don't know when it'll be, but the Siyam HaShas is going to be in February. Why is the Siyam HaShas in February? I just made that up. But let's say, why is the Siyam HaShas in February? Last time it was in May, and the time before that it was in October. Because the number of Zadapim of Shas don't divide evenly into the number of days of the year. It doesn't come out that it's always exactly on the same day once every 7 years. Right. So the Rosh says that the Gemara means that in addition to Vizot HaBracha, since another Sefer Torah is laned, what's that other Sefer Torah? The Maftir with the Korban. So the Haftorah for V'yamod Shlomo relates to that. Right? In other words, there's a Svara that, right? In other words, thematically, Yehoshua makes sense. Because the death of Moshe and the beginning of the leadership of Yehoshua go together. So how does V'yamod Shlomo... Yeah, so in other words, because it's connected to the Haftorah of the Korbanos. So the Ran says that the Haftorah of this Havamina that we don't do, of Vayamot Shlomo, it's not a Havamina, it's the Halacha and the Shas, which we don't do, the Haftorah of Vayamot Shlomo is connected to Vizot HaBracha. How? Because what's Vizot HaBracha? Moshe gathers the people together and he gives a bracha to every Shevet. What's happening in Malachim Aleph, Shlomo gathers the people together and he gives them a bracha. So it dafke is connected. So you see that the Rosh and the Ran understand the parasha completely differently. Right? In other words, depending upon what each thinks is the appropriate haftorah, it's a bit of a parlor game, right? you know, there's a book like that. There's more than one book like that that goes through the haftarot, trying to show. This is like a drasha on what's the connection between the haftorah and the parasha. Rav Shaviv from the Gush wrote a book like that, and there are others. But it's like sometimes you can. You know, we're good at that, Jews. We're into the hair splitting. How is a traffic light like potato kugel? What? Oh, yeah, well, what's the answer? I just made that. No, but in other words, we could come up with something. Or you could, there's always a gematria. Once you allow gematrias, you can figure anything out. As the Rush says that Vizos HaBracha is the end of the yearly cycle, which is not connected to the Haftarah that's mentioned by the Gemara, but is related to Yehoshua. But there's a second theme, which the Ran sees, which has to do with Brachot. So the end of Vizot. So the Rush says Vayamod Shlomo is the appropriate Haftarah, because it's about the Beis Hamikdash, and the Beis Hamikdash is about the Karbonos, so it's connected to the Maftir.
But it could be connected to any Maftir or Yantar, which is about
the Karbonos. Except it's on Sukkot. That parasha takes place on Sukkot. Right, and the Ran says it is connected to the reg to the main laning because of the inyan of the brachot. Okay. Omar Rav Huna, the Gemara says, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, Shabbat Shecholiyot Bechol Shomoed, Bein BePesach, Bein BeSukkot, Shabbos Cholomoed, the laning with both on Yontif, both on Sukkot and Pesach, Mikra Karinan Re'e. We read what?
For Re'ata.
Re'ata. Afturei Pesach Hatzamot Yeveshot. We read the vision of Yecheskel about the dry bones, not the comic strip. Uvesukot Uveyom Bo Gog. Ba'melchemet Gog u'Magog. Why do we read those two things? What's the connection between Atzamot Yeveshot and Pesach, and between Melchemet Gog u'Magog and Sukkot?
It says in after there that all the nations are going to come to Yerushalayim on Sukkot, doesn't it?
Ah, so that's Gog u'Magog.
Like they do.
So Rav Hai says, again, Rav Hai says that these two things happen on those days. That the Tchias HaMesim of the dry bones will be on Pesach, and the Melchemet Gog u'Magog, and the end where all the nations gather will be on Sukkot. So that's why those two are connected.
Wait, he's saying that the Nevuah happened on...
No, that the Nevuah is predicted to happen. That the events depicted in the Nevuah are predicted to happen. B'chanukah b'nisi'im, u'maftirin b'neirot de Zecharia.
But where does he get Pesach for...
I don't know, maybe it's a Midrash someplace.
I thought the simple reason for the reading of the Tzimot Yeveshot is that either it happened or it was in Nevuah, not that it's in the future.
What?
It says, I forget, Hashem took him into a valley and it was full. It was like...
No, that's what he sees. This is what he saw in that vision.
In the past tense.
No, but it means...
Yeah, in other words, Hashem showed me, I had this vision.
Right.
But the vision is what will be.
The past tense part of the showed me, not...
If I'm a lahav de la alfalfa avdolos, if I'm a fortune teller, and you come to have me read your palm,
no, there's a mashal and a nimshal. It says kach b'nei Yisrael, that in the future, you know, b'nei Yisrael will be revitalized. But the actual tchiyat ametim that happened in Nevuah happened. I mean, there's the midrash. It says this was, I forget the shevet that left. This was the Mapili, or this was Shevet Menashe that left Mitzrayim earlier.
Yeah, the Mapili.
In the past.
I don't know.
That's like the straight reading.
Yeah. So maybe it happened on Pesach.
Yeah, and that would make more sense.
So on Chanukah, you read the Nisim, and in each of the days what they brought. Umaftirin b'nerot de Zechariah. In Sefer Zechariah Paragimel, there's this description of the menorah of the future. V'imiklei shtei shabbatot. But what if there's two Shabbat Chanukahs, which sometimes happens? Kemaita b'neirot de Zecharia, betraita b'neirot Shlomo. The description of the menorah at the beginning of, say, from Lach Malif. Why read in that order? The second Shabbos we read about the menorah of Bayit Rishon. The first Shabbos in Zechariah was the time of Bayit Sheni. So it's not chronological. In other words, why it would make sense to do the opposite.
Or you could say, conversely, in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to read about the Nerot and the Beit HaMikdash, the closer one to you.
Well, not just the closer one, but the one that's more relevant to Hanukkah. Hanukkah was in Nes and Beit Sheni. So the menorah of Zechariah is really the more relevant one, the more immediate one.
And then in Chutz Laretz, you got to like find another Haftarah. So
no, it's not Chutz Laretz. There's a... There's no
Yom Tov Sheni
of Chanukah.
Yes, the Chanukah.
Right? Now, whether there's one or 2 days.
Yes, two.
This year there's only one, right? This year Chanukah is on Sunday night. Chanukah is on Sunday night.
Right.
Is it true? Miketz is always the Shabbos of Chanukah.
Not always.
Almost always.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then you read the Haftorah of the Shlomo with the spilling the baby in half.
Because of Miketz.
Yeah.
In other words, Miketz has a Haftorah. But how often do you read it? Like, yeah, this is a Phil Janowski book. The Purim. The Purim Viavo Amalek. I mentioned last time, Viavo Amalek only has 9 psukim. Generally speaking, we saw earlier that the shortest Kriyas HaTorah is 10 psukim. So there's a machlokus, Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. A Purim is no maftir. Purim is during the, right? The Kriyas HaTorah for Purim of Vayavo Amalek has only 9 psukim. The shortest Kriyas HaTorah you can have is 10 psukim.
Kriyas
HaTorah. The shortest Kriyas HaTorah is 10 psukim. So the Mechaber says when you read these 9 psukim, you double, you go back one, and you read one pasuk twice, so that you have read 10 psukim in total. We Ashkenazim are not makbid on this way, but many Batei Knesset actually, in fact, do this. They follow this practice of reading one pasuk twice, so that you get 10 psukim. So we had seen earlier in the Gemara the discussion of this requirement of 10 psukim, and how it could be that they chose something that only has 9 psukim. So because it's like a whole inyan, beginning to end, it's a kind of a parasha bifnei atzma, so then it's an exception to the rule. B'roshei chodeshim uv'roshei chodeshim, Rosh Chodesh shechal yot b'Shabbat, maftirin v'ayah midei chodesh b'chodesho, there's a special haftarah of Rosh Chodesh, chal yot b'echad b'Shabbat, when Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, me'etmol maftirin v'yomer lo yehonatan machar chodesh. Right? The special haftarah that mentions this idea that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and somehow already in the time of the Talmud this became the custom to read this special haftarah for the day after, which is Rosh Chodesh, which is rather unusual, let's say.
The haftarah when tomorrow was going to be Pesach.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, except that this one works so perfectly, Machar Kodesh.
Yes, it's true.
It's like you don't really.
I guess we don't have many haftarahs to say Machar Pesach.
There are no end of drashot, on this and the connection between that perek in Shmuel and Rosh Chodesh and etc. Not all of which are satisfying, I think. Yeah, I think. It was Erev Rosh Chodesh.
There's one shitah that says this is a proof that they had 2 years Rosh Chodesh because he came to the meal and he said tomorrow we're going to come again.
I think what's his name, Rav Bachrach, who wrote all those very nice books. There was somebody named Rav. Forgetting his first name, Bachrach was his last name. He lived in Harnof. I'm sure he's passed away by now. He wrote a number of books. He wrote a book about Yonah, books on Tanakh. So he has a book on this, a whole book on this perek in Shmuel. Here's a book on Rus. Here's a book on Yonah. A book on Eliyahu and Elisha. They're all very good books. Omer of Huna. It's only later that Erev Rosh Chodesh becomes what we call Yom Kippur Katan. You know what's Yom Kippur Katan?
Remind me.
We don't practice Yom Kippur Katan, but our Haredi brothers and sisters do. Yom Kippur Katan is an idea that Rosh Chodesh is kind of like a mini Yom Kippur. Just like Hashem forgives us on Yom Kippur, so he also parcels it out. Just like you have at the end of the tax year, you have to do all your taxes.
You pay it at the end of the month.
But at the end of every month, well, if you're in bookkeeping, if you run a company, or if you run a small amutar, etc., at the end of the month, every month, I submit that month's billing and payroll and hachnasot v'hotzaot. What do you call that?
Expenditures.
This is your line of work. Could you help me out?
Expenditures.
Expenditures and income, right? To the I submit every month everything to the accountant. So the same idea that every Rosh Chodesh is. That's why when there's what did we say in Musaf that was different in the Musaf,
right?
When it's an Ibur Shana, you add Ula Chaparat Pesha, because when there's a leap year and you have an extra Rosh Chodesh, there's extra opportunity for Kapara. Because you get an extra month, right? Like also in Israel, we have that idea. Like there's some, it's less popular than it used to be, but there are people that used to get paid 13 months a year.
Mm-hmm. It's not so unpopular. Plenty of places do that.
They still do it.
Banks mostly.
Right. Yeah. So what does it mean? You get paid 13 months a year.
Your bonus
is calculated.
So I'd like to get one also. No, but why not just give you a raise every month?
Well, if it's a bonus, it's theoretically tied to something. You know, the company did, the bank did well this year, and it's also not a chiyuv.
It's not a chiyuv. They can get rid of it, and it's not. It doesn't affect your base pay.
Mm-hmm.
If I give you 1/12, what percentage is 1/12?
8.3.
If I give you an 8.3% raise. So that affects everything. It affects your pension, it affects your pizzuim, it affects everything. This is a way for me to get more cash into your pocket.
Whatever the number is, because let's say you get $100 a month, and now I'm going to give you a dollar raise. Now I'm going to give you a percentage raise, a 10% raise every month. So the first month, you'll get $110. Second month, you're not going to get another $10, you're going to get another $11.
Right.
And so forth. So that's another reason why they do it this way.
No, they don't.
No, but nobody's thinking you're going to get a monthly raise.
Yearly raise or whatever it is.
Would be better when you get that bonus month pay, it's great. It would be better to get an 8.3% raise every month. Even though you would feel it less.
Because
it would affect everything. It would affect your pension, it would affect your pizza.
It's like, they got my job, like for some reason.
So that's why we say on Rosh Chodesh Musaf we add in a leap year you add l'chaparat pesha because there's an extra mana of kapara in a leap year. So this idea is
wrong there too.
Hmm?
The accounting seems to be wrong there also. But
why?
Because either way, whether it's a leap year or not, every 30 days you get a kapara.
No, except we also look at the. We all just like if you look at your income over the course of a whole year from January 1st to December 31st, if you get 13 months of pay, right?
But 13 months have really gone by.
But when it comes to Yom Kippur, what do we say in Kol Nidre? Mi Yom Kippurim Zeh Ad Yom Kippurim.
Right.
But you had an extra opportunity for kapara.
Okay.
So you also get 30 extra days to do mitzvah. So this idea of Yom Kippur Katan, is that Erev Rosh Chodesh is observed. In other words, Rosh Chodesh itself is not observed as Yom Kippur because Rosh Chodesh is a happy day. We fast on Rosh Chodesh.
I'm making a mess.
There are people that fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh. And there are people that there are slichot, there's special slichot to say for people that are fasting on Erev Rosh Chodesh. And if you ever go to the Kotel for Mincha on Erev Rosh Chodesh, you'll see it will be full of people. If you get a minyan together of people that are fasting, they lane and they say the slichot for the Yom Kippur Katan.
And is this related to Bahab?
No, Bahab is something else. Bahab is this cycle of mini fasts. After the Shalosh Regalim on Sheni Chamishi Sheni,
but it's like the same people that do Bahab.
Yes, there's probably a very high overlap of Bahabers and Erev and Yom Kippur Katan people. So Omer Rav Huna, Rosh.
I wonder if in the old days, you know, like when everybody was sort of the same, like, you know, what we call Haredi today, if you were still from, you were...
If you were
from 150 years ago,
yeah,
there weren't a whole lot of...
No, I'm sure that it was...
Well, it depends if you were...
I'm sure it was never a majority custom to fast on every... It was, but first of all, if you worked for a living, you had a pass. And if you, you know, so there
everybody
were...
Everybody worked for a living 2 years ago?
Well, there were batlonim, there were people that sat and learned, and there were people in yeshivas. There were not to the percentages you have today, but there was... Yeah.
So it all depended if you were in Lithuania or in Germany or in Yemen.
Yes. Rosh Chodesh Av shechal liot b'Shabbat. Rosh Chodesh Av apparently had a different haftarah. Chodeshechem u'moedechem, sana nafshi. This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, beginning of Yeshayahu. Hayu alai l'torach. Your holidays and your festivals are hateful to my soul, says God, and it's a hassle for me. It's a burden for me. Right? In other words, we start early. Right, you can't get enough Tisha B'Av, so you start already beforehand. My hayu alai l'torach, what does it mean? Like it's a burden for Hashem. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu lo dayan lehem liYisrael shechotin lifanai. It's not bad enough that the Bnei Yisrael do sins. Ela shematrichin oti leda ezek zera kasha avi alehem. Like Mela Yidden, you do sins. But why? But you know, every time you sin, you know what I have to do? I have to figure out like how I'm going to punish you.
But
you know, it's like
related.
It's like the
related to the fact that your Shabbatot and your Moedim are a bother to you.
Ah, so this is. So this is talking about holidays that were added. This is not talking about the regular Moedim. So the Maharsho says that this pasuk in Yeshayahu is talking about certain types of holidays or pseudo holidays that Bnei Israel improperly established for themselves,
which made it more complicated for Kadosh Baruch Hu to decide which onus they would get. Or what's the connection between?
Well, he explains over here that it's like, you know, whenever there's a holiday, then people are. This is also the Haftarah that relates to the Korbanot, right?
It's at the beginning, yeah. Well, this is the beginning of Yeshayahu.
So people are bringing korbanot to be,
insincerely.
Right, so they're asking God for forgiveness. Right. And he's got to, like, do cheshbonot. Right. I got to forgive you for this chet and for this chet.
So others say that it has to do with the ta'aniyot that had to be instituted because of the sins.
The what?
Korbanot? I mean, ta'aniyot. All the ta'aniyot that had to be instituted because of the sins. Right. In other words, now you have to now there are these dates on the calendar: Shavuos B'Tammuz, Asar B'Teves, Tisha B'Av, etc. Right. So it's not bad enough that you have to sin, but now I have to mele you sin. But now I have to come up with Tisha B'Av. I have to listen to all those kinos, all those shiurim. You know, it's kind of funny Tisha B'Av. It's like the one day of the year it's usher to learn Torah. There's more Torah study that goes on Tisha B'Av. And every shul, all day long, they're learning. Can you imagine? Should make Torah learning usher all year long. People have a yetzara for it.
At least on, what's it called? On Christmas, there's really no learning.
On Nittel.
Nittel. Lel Nittel.
Yeah, but you know what you have to do on Lel Nittel?
Is there some words?
Well, in other words, if you're the Vilna Gaon who knew all about math and science, trigonometry and calculus and etc. So, since the Vilna Gaon was learning all day, every day, so when did he master all of those chochmot?
In the bathroom?
Well, either in the bathroom or on little.
One night a year.
One night a year. For the gun. If you're the gun, that's enough to, you know, one night a year is enough. There's a European, there's a minhag in Eastern Europe called Nittelnacht. On Christmas Eve, the Yidden didn't learn Torah because we wouldn't want anyone to think, Chas v'Shalom, we were learning Le'ilui Nishmoso. Or Lichvodo Shel Oto Ha'ish.
You know
who Oto Ha'ish is?
Yeah, that's like saying, like, we're not going to go to the base factory and stay up all night and learn Torah because we don't want people to think we're staying up for stamping. Like, seriously.
what was probably the reason that Jews...
the other one that's
because they were afraid that
the Christians were coming home drunk.
Presumably the real reason was that it was dangerous for Jews to be out on the streets on Christmas Eve. Because what's the obvious question? First of all, Jesus did not die. It's not his yahrzeit. So the idea that we shouldn't learn Lilui Nishmoso, that would be on his yahrzeit. So why isn't there no equivalent for Easter? What's the answer?
Because they don't get drunk on Easter.
No, because Easter is always on Sunday. The night before is always Motzei Shabbos. But anyway, Jews are in their houses. Right? Christmas is a movable feast. It can be on any day of the week. So anyway, this is a minhag. So because one night a year you had off from the Beis Medrash.
If you're Machmir, it's two nights because there's Nitzel Gadol v'Katan, because there's the Gregorian holiday and the Julian calendar.
Well, if you live in a place where you have both Roman Catholics and
like Yerushalayim.
Yes, but Yerushalayim is not in Eastern Europe.
It's in called by Gnutz called Davar called what's it called?
Davar Yom Biyomo?
Whatever it's called, yeah. He mentions there both of them. He's got it Mitzvah.
So if you live days. I guess if you live in a city where there's both Eastern
forget where you live. It's Minhag Avotenu V'Adenu's. Palm it was a Julian calendar, now it's a Gregorian calendar, but he brought dates.
So
we leave it, we'd never learn anything.
They're careful, special not to learn on Nittelnacht.
So then
if you have two nights a year, so then that explains how he was able to learn all the mathematics, all the mathematical sciences, and learn 70 languages. Having finished Shas by the time he was five, he was able to dedicate one or two nights a year to these other things. But there's one minhag that people would learn play cards. People play cards on Nittelnacht. The other minhag is, you know, you can't tear toilet paper on Shabbos. So we live in a very decadent society where we can buy special Shabbos toilet paper. But the Yidden of old didn't have that. So on Nittelnacht, they would tear the toilet paper for the whole year. Since anyway, you can't learn, you have to do something. It was the night to tear all the Shabbos toilet paper.
Kind of like playing cards.
Yeah. In later generations, became the minhag to go eat Chinese food. Betisha ba'av gufa, and Tisha b'av itself, my maftirin, omarav, ika echa haitala zona. That's not echa yashva vadad, that's echa haitala zona in Yeshayahu. Mikra Mai, what's the Kriya Satora for Tisha B'Av? Tanya Acherim Omrim Ve'im Lo Tishma'uli. Some say it's that. Rav Nasan Bar Yosef Amer Ad Ana Yinatzuni. Hazeh. V'yesh Omrim Ad Matai Le'eda Hara Azot. Amar Abayi Ha'idna Nahug Alma Le'mikre Ki Tolid Banim U'maftirin Asof Asifim.
There are so many choices for that.
Yes. And that is the minhag. B'ma'amadot, remember we talked about ma'amadot last week. When the kohanim from your town would go to Beis Hamikdash, so there would be something of a festival in your town.
Would the kohanim that remained would be doing tefillot or everybody?
No, everybody.
Okay.
Minahani Mili. So what's the source for this idea that there's a special creation that Parshat Bereshit, Maaseh Bereshit is the laning? So Omer of Ami, because what's the connection? Like, I would think, like, what would you think? If you were taking the unseen, You would do something about the korbanot that they're sacrificing. You do something about the avodas yom avodas beis hamikdash. So amai, Omer v'ami il male ma'amadot lo nitkaimu shamayim v'aretz. And as without the ma'amadot, without the ongoing functioning of the beis hamikdash, heaven and earth would collapse. Right? The universe exists in the schut of beis hamikdash. Shneemar im lo briti yomam v'layla chukot shemayim v'aretz lo samti. Right, that God's brit, the covenant that establishes creation, right, which is maintained through the korbanot, is what maintains the universe. V'chtiv v'yomer Hashem Elokim b'ma'ida. We already took a peek at this last week. So when Avram Avinu asks, "How will I know that I will inherit the land?" Amar Avram lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Shema Chas v'Shalom Yisrael Chotin lifanecha. In other words, what does it mean? How does Avram is such a loose man of faith? No. So what's the question? What's behind the question? The question is, if you promise me that I'll get Eretz Yisrael and it'll be for my progeny, I believe you. But how will I know that they will keep it forever? Because maybe they will sin.
Maybe they won't do their side of the brief.
Right. Vata oselahem kedor hamabul, kedor haflaga. So Omer lo, that's interesting. Avram doesn't imagine galut. He imagines destruction.
Mm-hmm. Well, haflaga could be.
Dor haflaga could be some form of galut.
Galut wasn't in the history of the world. Galut wasn't punishment that was used by Hashem.
Well, that's not exactly true. Adam v'Chava are sent into exile.
And the avot were.
Right? What? The avot weren't sent into exile. They had to leave for periods of time.
Kain was sent into a kind of exile.
Kain, right? So, but certainly the reference to Dor HaMabul, he thinks it'll just get wiped out. So Omer lo, lav, Amar lefanav Ribbono Shel Olam b'ma'ida. He says, I won't destroy them. Omer lefanav Ribbono Shel Olam b'ma'ida. So Amar lo, k'chali egla mishuleshet v'chui. He says, to make a korban. He says, what's the Indian of korban here? Well, how is taking a korban?
Well, he's telling him how to set up the
brit ben avotarim. Right, but why is making a korban in this brit ben apsarim? Why is that the answer to the question of how will I know that we will always maintain a connection to Eretz? Even when we're in exile, we still maintain a connection to Eretz. We still maintain a right to Eretz Yisrael. So Amar lefanav Ribbono Shel Olam tinach bizman shebeit. So he says the korbanot are the promise. If you do the korbanot, you'll keep the main. You'll maintain a connection to Eretz Yisrael. So this is fine, but the Beis HaMikdash isn't always going to be. What if they sin and Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? Mate aleihem. What'll be with them? So Omar lo, kfar tikanti lahem seder korbanot kol zman shekorin behem maleh ani alav kiilu makriven lifnei korban u'mochel ani al kol avnoseihem. So you can't do the korbanot, but you can say the korbanot. So
we. Yeah, but if they sin and they don't say the korbanot.
Oh so, no! So that's. In other words, the point is that it's up to them. And as God says, I won't violate the brit. But you know, so the question is not Avram. The question is not. How do you know you can rely on me? The question is, how do we know we can rely on you?
Isn't that what Avram is asking? I mean, I understand that if he would ask,
oh, what?